Good morning. Welcome, Calvary Bible Baptist Church. We're glad that you're here. Turning your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Find verse number 8. Boy, what a wonderful service we've had already. God sure is good. He sure is good. He sure is worthy. Appreciated the good singing. It was special. That was wonderful. Hearing those ladies sing. That was beautiful. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Let's pray, dear Lord. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. Lord, we're here today to worship you. We're here today, Lord, to hear from you. And Lord, these people didn't come to hear from me. And Lord, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I preach your word this morning. Fill me with your power. Lord, help me as I preach your truth, your word. If there's anyone here that's lost, that's not saved, that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, may they trust Christ today. We give you all the glory and honor, Lord, for what's been accomplished so far in this service, Lord. And we know that you're here. We can feel your presence. And I pray, God, that your presence would, Lord, overwhelm us this morning. Thank you so much for Jesus Christ, your Son, who came to this earth and died on the cross so that we could escape the wrath to come, so that we could have eternal life. We give him all glory and honor. In your name we pray. Amen. I enjoy reading and studying the lives of God's mighty men, God's men of war, God's men of valor, God's men of courage. And these men were God's warriors. They were Jehovah's soldiers. There's just something about studying the lives of men like Joshua and Caleb, and men like Jonathan and David, men like Joab and Abishai, that inspires me to be all that I can be for God. These men were heroes in their time. They feared no one but God. The bigger and stronger the enemy, the better. Excuse me. They enjoyed being the underdog. They preferred that the odds be against them. These men were special. They were volunteers in the army of the living God. They were servants of the Most High. They were humble and holy men. They were men who fought valiantly and courageously for their God, their country, their homes, and their families. They were willing to die on the battlefield for what they believed in. They were men of character and conviction, men of honor, men of heart, loyal and brave, true and genuine. Now, I don't have time to examine the lives of all of God's mighty men this morning, but I would like to focus for a few moments on a man in our text who the Bible calls Shammah. Now, I've heard a number of sermons preached on Joshua, and I've heard several sermons preached on Caleb, and I enjoyed every one of them. I've heard messages preached on Jonathan and David and Joab and Abishai, and I like that kind of preaching. I just enjoy it. But I have never heard a sermon preached from this text on the courage and the heroism of this man, Shammah. The Bible doesn't have a lot to tell us about Shammah. The Bible doesn't say a lot about Shammah. We know that he is one of David's mighty men. He was the son of Agi, the Hararite, and one of three captains who were in command of David's army. But that's all we know about Shammah. But I'm not so much interested in who he was as much as I'm interested in what he did. The Bible tells us that the Philistines had attacked the Israelites and were attempting to take control of a certain piece of ground that belonged to the Israelites. I'm sure this piece of land had belonged to an Israelite family. I'm sure that they had worked hard to cultivate this piece of ground that had been given to them by God. It belonged to them. And now the Philistines were threatening to capture and claim this piece of land for their own. And they would have succeeded if it was not for the faith and the courage of this man Shammah. The Bible says Shammah stood in the midst of the ground and defended it while everyone else was fleeing, while everyone else was retreating, while everyone else was laying down their armor and their weapons, while everyone else was running from the enemy. Shammah stood his ground, even though he was outnumbered, even though the enemy had the rest of God's people on the run. He stood alone. Shammah refused to quit. He refused to retreat. He wasn't about to give up the fight. He was not about to allow the enemies of God to claim that small piece of ground for their own. The Bible says that he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. I'm going to preach on standing our ground this morning. There ever was a time in which it was necessary for God's people to stand their ground, it's now. It's today. I believe there has never been a time in the history of Christianity in which it was more important for God's people to stand their ground. The devil and his armies, hand in hand with this world and the enemies of God, are closing in on all sides. And they have their sights set on destroying and overthrowing the spiritual foundations and the moral boundaries of God's Word, in which we as Christians believe and strongly hold dear. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now understand, Shammah was fighting a physical enemy. We don't fight a physical enemy today. We fight a spiritual enemy. And I know we read these verses all the time and we hear these verses preached on all the time and we just yawn and we think, I wonder who's winning the football game this morning. That's the attitude of most Christians. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. While many of God's people who are weak and cowardly have already compromised the standards and the convictions of God's Word and have fled before the enemy, I want to encourage you this morning to gird your armor on and stand your ground as Shammah stood his ground against the enemy that day. Is that not what Paul exhorts us to do in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10? He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I wonder if Paul was thinking about our text as he was writing these verses concerning spiritual warfare to the church at Ephesus. Sounds to me like Paul might have been reading or studying about the lives of mighty men like Shammah at the time that he was writing these words of exhortation to the people, the Christians at Ephesus. Paul doesn't use any names in this epistle, but I want you to notice that Paul uses the word "stand" 5 times in 8 verses. What does our text say this morning? It says, "But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day." I believe, judging from many of the Apostle Paul's writings on the subject of spiritual warfare, that Paul was also greatly inspired and encouraged by the examples of men like Shammah in the Old Testament. And as Shammah stood his ground that day against the enemies of God, may his courage and faith inspire us to stand our ground against the Lord of darkness and his armies today. Listen, we are under attack. The question is not whether we're under attack. We know we're under attack. The question is, will we stand and fight, or will we shrink and flee before the enemy? Shammah chose to stand and fight. Paul chose to stand and fight, and Paul was able to say at the end of his life, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I believe that there are some crucial spiritual ground that is being in danger of being conquered by the enemy today. I believe that there is some crucial spiritual turf that is in danger of being taken over by the enemy today. And unless we as Christians set ourselves in the midst of these pieces of holy ground and dig in with our swords drawn, we are in danger of losing some very important pieces of spiritual real estate to the enemy. We must stand our ground. We don't have a choice. We must choose to stand our ground. We must stand our ground in our country. Little by little, we see the Christian principles on which this country was founded eroding away. This nation's spiritual foundations are under attack. And unless we as Christians stand our ground, we will see the spiritual pillars on which this country stands crumble and fall. In our own public schools, our children are being taught that there is no God. The false theory of evolution is being taught as fact. And creation is being dismissed as a myth. As a result of evolution being taught in our public schools, our land has been defiled and corrupted by immorality, adultery, fornication, teen pregnancy, perversion, pornography, lust, homosexuality, lesbianism, rape, incest, murder, abortion, violence, suicide, drugs, drunkenness, and rampant sin. Because our young people have been taught that they are animals, they're living like animals. Listen to these statistics about our young people. Suicide has increased 120% among kids ages 10 to 12. That's kids ages 10 to 12 in the past 12 years. One out of three young people have considered suicide. One out of seven have attempted suicide. The homicide rate among 14 to 17-year-olds has increased 165% in the last 10 years. And marijuana use among teens has doubled in the last 2 years. If we lose our children, it won't be because Satan has more to offer them. It will be because we as Christians didn't show up for battle. It will be because we failed to stand our ground. In America today, the Bible is just a book. Jesus is only a man, and hell is just a cuss word. In America today, God's holy name is being taken in vain. God's laws and commandments are being broken. And God's truth is fallen in the streets and being trampled upon. The truth about God is fallen in the streets. The truth about America is fallen in the streets. The truth about right and wrong is fallen in the streets. And we, as Christians, do nothing. And unless we as Christians stand up and stand out and stand our ground in this country, America will fall to the enemy. We must stand our ground against the corruption in this country, against the corruption in our government and in our courts. We must stand our ground against the liberals and the Democrats who stand for everything that we as Christians stand against. We must stand up against these organizations like the ACLU and the EPA, Greenpeace, and all these other communist, liberal, environmentalist, pot-smoking, wacko organizations, the sodomites and the lesbians, the pro-abortion crowd, and all the rest. It's time we as Christians show the world what we're made of and that we stand for something. And we're not going to let the devil walk in and take from us the spiritual holy ground that God has blessed us with. Our churches are under attack. We need to stand our ground not only in our country, but in our churches. We need to stand our ground against apostasy in our churches. We must stand our ground against compromise in our churches. We must stand our ground against false doctrine and heresy in our churches. We must stand our ground against modernism in our churches. God said in His Word, "Hey, I'm the Lord, I change not." God doesn't change. God is old-fashioned. Listen, I believe in the old-time way. You're looking at an old-time preacher right here. That's the only way I know how to preach. You can have this modern religion, this modern Christianity, and flush it down the toilet. It's not worth anything. Just give me the old-time religion. These new perversions of the Bible, these modern perversions and newer translations of the Bible, they're not worth a dime. They're corrupt. They're watered down. They've watered down the truth. They've watered down the gospel. And they have no power whatsoever. Listen, I'll just stay with the old King James Bible. That's been good enough for Christians of old. It's going to be good enough for me. I believe in the old time religion. And I just want to keep telling the old story. Listen, we must stand our ground against modernism. We must stand our ground in our churches against ungodliness and worldliness that's crept into our churches. The church is supposed to be influencing the world. But instead, the world is influencing the church. And the more worldly influences leaking into our churches, the deader our churches become. We've got too much worldliness in Christianity and not enough Christianity in the world. A Christian in the world is one thing. We have to be in the world. But the world and a Christian is something else. I never forget going out whaling in Point Hope. And we were out there for several days and we had set up camp. And we were waiting there on the ice for the whales to swim by. And I was really looking forward to this. I'd never had the opportunity to really be a part of that. Now, my dad was part of a whaling crew in Wainwright when he was there for several years. And he worked several years while he was there. And we got to go out to camp every once in a while, but we never really got to help and be a part of it and see people catch a whale. And we were there, but we weren't a part of it. Well, I got my opportunity, and we were standing there on the ice, and we had the boat ready and everything, a skin boat, and a whale swam by. A whale popped right up in front of us, and we were all kind of just sleeping. We were tired from setting up camp and all that, breaking trail, and we were just tired. We were wore out. Most of us were sleeping. But when that whale popped up, everybody jumped up, and everybody was running around here and there trying to figure out what to do, and our captain said, "Hey, get in the boat." And I realized that he was talking to me. Everybody else had gotten in the boat. And I was the only one left standing there on the ice. And he said, "Get in the boat." And so I got in the boat. And that was a dumb thing to do. And I don't like water. I don't like being out in the water, especially in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the Arctic Ocean with ice all around. And the weather was not good. I mean, it was waves and snow was blowing. And it was just miserable out there. But I got in the boat. And that was a dumb decision. That was a dumb thing that I did. But we started to paddle after this whale, and this whale wasn't going to stop. It was just kept on swimming. And we paddled for a half hour or so, and the captain told us to turn around and go back to the shore. Well, we sprung a leak. And I tell you what, I was all right. I was all right in that boat. I was getting that paddling down all right, and everything was going fine until we sprung that leak. And once we started leaking, there was water coming up through that sealskin-covered boat, I began to panic. And I was wondering if I was going to make it back to shore alive or if I was going to drown in the ocean. And I was praying, "Oh, Lord, please don't let me drown. I don't want to be like Jonah. I don't want to be swallowed by a whale. I confess my sins. I get everything right. Whatever's wrong in my life, I want to get that right now." But our captain just said, "Keep rowing, keep rowing. We'll be all right." But you know what? We got to that shore, and there was probably about a foot of water in that bottom of that boat. And we had to get our coffee cups out, and we had to scoop all that water out before it froze. And I tell you what, that's the way the world is. The world's going to try and get into our church. The world's going to try and get into our church and sink our church. And if we don't prepare, if we're not ready, we're going to sink beneath the waves of worldliness. The devil has our churches so full of worldliness and carnalities, they're sinking. They're sinking beneath the waves. We've got to keep the world out of our churches and the evil influences of this world out of our churches, or they will swallow us up. It's time we stood our ground in our churches. We can't afford to yield any more ground to the enemy. The Bible says in 1 Timothy that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, no wonder Satan wants to destroy our churches. No wonder Satan's got our churches under attack. We must stand our ground in our churches. We must stand our ground in our Christian homes. And this is important. Our homes are under Satan's attack. Our families are being threatened by the enemy. Satan knows that Calvary Bible Baptist Church will only ever be as strong spiritually as its families. If our homes are weak and sickly spiritually, our church will be weak and sickly spiritually. If the husbands and fathers in our church, in our churches and our Christian homes are not being the spiritual leaders that they need to be, Calvary Bible Baptist Church will fall to the enemy. If the wives and mothers of our church fail to love and honor God and submit themselves to their husbands and love their children as the Bible requires them to, not only will our families and marriages fall apart, this church will fall apart and be taken over by the enemy. The Bible commands us men, as husbands, to love our wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible commands us men as fathers not to provoke our children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible commands you women who are wives to love your husbands and to submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, to love your children and to be discreet, chaste keepers of your homes. The Bible commands you children, you young people, you teenagers, to obey your parents in the Lord and to honor them and to submit to their authority over you. That's not me. That's not me talking. That's the Bible. That's what God says. Unfortunately, we see the opposite of what God's Word teaches taking place in most of, if not many, of our Christian homes today. Too many of our Christian homes lack love and leadership. They lack charity and kindness. They lack godliness and purity. They lack character and holiness, consideration and unselfishness, obedience and submission. In many ways, our Christian families are anything but Christian because Christ is not the center of our homes. Listen, we must stand our ground in our Christian homes. We must stand our ground in our Christian homes against adultery and anger, against bitterness and backsliding, against cursing and confusion, against disunity and divorce, against envy and error, against foolishness and fighting, against gossip and greed, against hate and hypocrisy, against immorality and idolatry, against jealousy and jesting, against lying and lust, against malice and murmuring, against nakedness and naughtiness, against pride and perversion, against rage and rebellion, against selfishness and strife, against temptation and treachery. I need a break here. Against uncleanness and unfaithfulness, against vanity and violence, against worldliness and witchcraft. We need to stand our ground. It's important that we stand our ground in our Christian homes, or this church will fall apart. The Bible warns us not to give place to the devil. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Why? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Shammah resisted the enemy. He stood his ground. And the Bible says the Lord wrought a great victory. Where are God's mighty men and women today? Where are the Joshua and Calebs of old? Where are the Jonathans and the Davids? Where are the Joabs and the Abishais? Where are the Adnos who alone lift up his spear against 800 men and slew them? Where are the Eleazars who arose and smote the enemy, the Bible says, until his hand was so weary that it clave unto his sword? Where are the Shammahs of Christianity? Listen, the only hope for our Christian homes and the only hope for our churches and the only hope for this country is for Bible-believing, blood-bought, God-fearing, old-time, Spirit-filled soldiers of the cross to stand their ground. We have a choice. We can choose to turn and run, or we can choose to stand and fight. Shammah chose to stand his ground and fight. And with God's help, he won the battle. And with God's help, so can we. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us Christians to stand our ground. Give us the strength and the power to stand our ground against the enemy. In this country, in this church, and in our homes. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the examples of men like Shammah, men of war, men of valor, men of courage, men of faith. Lord, help us to be Christians of courage and faith, of valor and bravery. Help us to stand our ground. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's sing a song and we'll be dismissed. Find a hymnal and let's sing Stand Up for Jesus. Let's sing Stand Up for Jesus. I don't know what number that is, but Connie's going to play. Thank you, Connie. 730 in your hymn book.